Hello, Sexy Sunday. It's the best day of the week because I get to share a convo with you about sex, relationships, and being the most free and confident version of yourself. I'm big on making my own rules and normalizing these kinds of conversations because I believe that the more we talk about it, the better sex we're all going to have because we'll be more educated and hornier. We walk around and hardly broach this topic in our normal lives, but I'm trying to change that. This is storytelling that's entertaining as hell, that will leave you laughing and gasping, introducing ideas that'll change you and break you open to celebrating your sexy self. Come with a curious head and brave heart, and let's play. I'm Bonnie Weeks, and this is gonna be fun. Hello, lovers. Today is another devotional with me. The last devotional was episode 5 of Why I Left My Marriage, and these devotionals are just me. These are solo podcasts. And today, for this devotional, I'm going to share with you this idea of selfish honesty, and I'm going to do it, of course, with a story. And perhaps you have heard me say the phrase selfish honesty before, and I hope that this lands in a way that selfish is not thought of as a bad thing, right? So oftentimes we think of, you know, somebody's being selfish, and there's a lot of ways that we could consider all of us acting in selfish ways. But this is very much something to celebrate in regards to communication. And here's the story. When I was in my open marriage and really learning how to communicate, and I often tell people that if they're going to be stepping into open relationships, polyamory, what have you, that if you have not done that before, and if the other people you have not done that before, like that are doing it with you, there's going to be a lot of learning involved and a lot of learning how to communicate. And so many pieces of the lessons that I walked away with from my time when I was married and open was how to communicate. And selfish honesty comes from this. There was this one night that there was about 14 of us, and we were, was invited to this group, and we met up for sushi, and we went out for karaoke, and went to this karaoke bar where, you know, you can rent a room, and then it's just for your party. And so we were in this room, and I would say, you know, back up and even say when I sat down to sushi and looked around the table at almost everybody there around the table was strangers to me. And there was one dude in a white shirt, and I'll call him White Shirt. And then when I looked at him, I was like, oh, well, it's going to be him. Like, that's who I'm excited about sitting at this table. And I would say that, you know, just because you might go out with a group who, and this was a group who went out, who knew that they were all meeting up with other swingers, who were like, let's meet people. There was nothing like prearranged of like, we are going to do this, we are not going to do that. It was just like, get together, meet, see what happens. And yeah, so, you know, we're there in that place. And really, whenever there's an opportunity to meet new people, like, you have no idea who's going to be there. And sometimes you're not attracted to anybody. And I attraction is an interesting thing. And sometimes attraction can build, you know, there's been like such a variety of the circumstances I've been in, but I would really say it cannot be forced. And as I looked around this table, and white shirt was there, and I was like, okay, yeah, that's making me feel excited. And he was sitting all the way across the table from me with this large group. So we did not interact at all during this dinner. And then we went to karaoke. And at karaoke, we like gradually, there was like a closing of the gap between us, you know, as people are like walking around and singing and enjoying themselves. And eventually he walked up to me and he started talking to me, and you know, it's loud in there, and you know, right from the beginning, it was basically like, okay, he said, I have never been to something like this. This is the first time I've been to a party like this. This is like a step into this space. How in the world how does this even work? Like, how do we go from like singing karaoke to people fucking? And so, I mean, this is why this podcast exists. Like, the more we talk about sex, the more sex you're going to have. Like, you know, like the more you talk about a thing, the more you're probably likely to do that thing. So here we are. Talking about sex is excellent foreplay. You want to have more sex with your person or your people? Talk about sex more. Then you will have more sex. So, if you want it, that's all put on the tree. If you want it, if you talk about sex, chances are high, more sex. So white shirt is asking me these things, and like, I'm feeling pretty stoked. Like, I'm just feeling like pretty flirty. I'm like, okay, this person is cool. And also, I think one of the fun pieces of being part of the open world is that it's not very common that we walk up to somebody and instantly start talking about sex. And sex is such an intimate thing. It's such a personal thing that if we lead with that, like, everything else almost feels, at least to me, even a little bit easier, where like we're talking about the things that people don't talk about and just diving right in. And I think maybe that's part of the draw, actually, is that all of a sudden there's a space and people who are like, I'm ready to just show up and be honest. And we're sitting there talking, and I have no idea what I think I kind of just told him that it's not like we're suddenly ripping each other's clothes off at like, where does that go? it's a lot of figuring out what you want and saying hi to people. And sometimes it's an invitation for a meetup later, or, you know, et cetera. And what ended up happening with this group, though, was that we all went to the sex club. And this is about, at this point, about 5 months into experimenting with open relationships. And there's, you know, other experiences before this, but this is the story of selfish honesty. So I'll say this, before we went out, my then husband and I had talked about when one of us was tired, then we would go home. And we're like, yeah, that seems like a reasonable sort of, you know, expectation or desire that, like, if somebody's tired, we'll go home. So we had agreed to this. And we showed up at the sex club. And actually, the sex club that night, it was Burning Man. Not, you know, here in Portland, but, like, there's a lot of folks from within, like, the open community between, you know, the poly and swinging community that were not in town. And they were actually going to close the sex club early. And then a group of 14 of us showed up and they just invited us all in. They're like, whatever, just like, don't even pay. Just like, come in. It's club is open for you. And there was one moment I looked over like later on, and like all the other people who had stayed, who were all going to leave, had set up chairs and were like, just watching, because we all came in and there was some music playing. So we all started dancing and White Shirt, his girlfriend, actually had gone home because she was feeling ill, but had told him to stay. And actually he had told him if he was going to bring somebody home, to bring the woman home in the white pants, which was me. And, so, you know, I found that out later. And so he was there. And so there was, you know, the rest of us all had a person with us, and he did not. And at that moment, there was more people dancing that were not just like two people together. There was some three peoples together. And I went over to him and he was like, I'm feeling really uncomfortable because I'm making it be odd numbers. And, you know, I kind of went up to him close and I said, I don't know, have you looked at all those people dancing? It looks like they're having a pretty good time, even if there's odd numbers. And then we were there right next to each other, and then we kissed. And there was such like a build up to this moment where, you know, I had seen him across the table and he eventually came over to me, and this is hours into the evening, right? And this evening where there was an open availability for like seeing what was between everybody, which is a fun space, you know, if that's the space you're in, and, you know, it's all very consensual and whatnot, but, you know, so we got to this point and dancing and making out, and eventually we got to the couch, and there was, you know, other fun things happening. There was a lot of group things again. There was like the row of people were watching, and I just kind of made me laugh because everybody's just enjoying themselves. And I just think of, I don't know, the ways that children entertain themselves and explore things and build playgrounds out of a pile of dirt and sticks, and the permission that oftentimes we begin to think that we have to have, or think that we have to act in a certain way. And maybe that's the reason why I love movement so much, is because it's all a playground. Like, let's be weird in the way we move our bodies, and sex is definitely a way we move our body weird. That's not, we don't go walking down the street humping the air. Sorry, now I'm just imagining us all like hi waving as we're like air humping forward. I mean, this would be ridiculous, right? Maybe we'll do that next time we see each other. Oh gosh. Oh, so, you know, I think finding this space and finding this thing that, you know, was interested in exploring and showing up at this party and being with this person, I was like, okay, this is exactly where I want to be. And I ended up, like, he is sitting on this couch, and I was straddling him. His hand was down the back of my pants and trying to reach inside me, and I was just, like, full on, like, my whole body was vibrating. I am, like, in his mouth, and I was so happy. And several things here. Like, I learned so many things from this, from White Shirt Night. Who I don't refer to as White Shirt, but that's, you know, we're going to not share all the names here. And that, one of the things is like that communication, especially if you are somebody that's interested in exploring polyamory or play with like open relationships, play with other partners, is that communication piece between you and your partner. And so, you know, at one point I remember my ex, he came up to me and he was just like, he asked me some question. I don't know if he asked me if I was all right or all good or something. And, I have become aware, especially now since this, of the ways that I use my hands and in communication, and specifically, like, he came up and I felt like in that moment that it was, like I was so into this moment with White Shirt, that I did not want to be disturbed. And I held up my hand as in like a full five fingers, palm open, like a stop. Like, you know, it would be like, I'm fine, you know, here I am. But really, like, for me, like I say that, this is interesting. For me, I was like, I'm fine, I'm good. Like, this is what it is. But I held up my hand as a full, you know, almost as if I was going to say stop to stop traffic. And the interpretation of that hand was hard to take. So, you know, just being aware of that communication in the moment. So again, this is the learning. This is the learning of, like, you know, if I can impart something, it'd be like, when a partner might come up to you, if you're in an experiment space, like, turning to them and instead using more words and saying something like, I'm doing fantastic. And then maybe he needed a check-in. Maybe it would have been like, are you good? And I didn't even have to like get off White Shirt's lap. I didn't have to like unravel our hands from all the places that they were for both of us. It was just, I could have just had that communication with him. So that's one piece. And then, anyway, but you know, that passed for a moment. In that moment, I was just like very there. And the club closes at 2 a.m. And I wanted White Shirt so badly. And it was such good chemistry. And up until this point, I hadn't felt the ease of just relaxing into being with somebody else. And he was such a pivotal piece for me in my journey, because all of a sudden, like, it didn't, like, nothing felt like work. And I didn't know that that was a thing, where the intimacy didn't feel like work, like showing up in that moment, it didn't feel like work. And it was just so easy. And I think this is part of why, you know, I think it's important to date many different people, because you don't know what kind of intimacy is out there unless you experience a lot of different kinds, and then the kinds that you're like, oh, we can just drop right into this. And so it was 2 a.m. I did not have my pants off. He did not have his pants off. We were just like grinding on each other and so horny. I really wanted to fuck him. And, you know, really, there's beds there. I could have done that, but I didn't do that. And, you know, we left, you know, we went outside of the club. And I was like, you know, there's some of them that were going to go back to somebody's house. And I was like, yep, me, pick me. I'm going 100%. My whole body was on fire. And my ex said that he was tired. And I said, okay. And that is the last thing I wanted to do. And it was hard. And also, we had made an agreement. And I went home, we were driving home, and my whole body was like my whole body was on fire and just wanting. And there was an anger in me that I could feel too. Like I wanted this thing and I couldn't have it. And he was tired and honestly, like it was a hard couple days because I had a burning that needed to be released. And my ex wasn't in that moment with me. We weren't in the same energy together. He was doing other things and enjoying himself and having his own experiences. And even in a moment, we were trying to have sex and he stopped me and he's like, "You are not fucking me. Like, this isn't me right here." And I was bringing the energy that I had. I was just trying to bring my energy and where my energy had left off. And I don't even think it was that night. I think it might have been the next day, but it just was that regardless, it doesn't matter that I was bringing this energy that was coiled in my body. And we weren't meeting in that. And I never met up with White Shirt again, which was totally fine. But from this experience, we both eventually were able to use enough words to be like, this was the moment of selfish honesty. Like, what would have changed? Like, what other ways could we have navigated this for us to step aside and be like, you're tired. It's 2 a.m. I am not tired. And I would like to go with this person. Like, are there things and ways to exist in the world that could have been possible? 100%. I was like, oh, I can't say anything because we made this agreement. But that is not the truth. The truth is actually that I have my own voice and power to like navigate and say actually what I want. Even if he said what he wanted, but I didn't say what I wanted. And this is part of my exploration of voice and how do I use my voice? And really this deep encouragement for you to use your voice, to look at yourself and say, what do I want? What do I need? And then say it and share it. That doesn't mean that we will always get what the thing is, but there is no way that somebody else can meet us in our space and even know how to begin to navigate it if we don't say it. And if we both, this is why I think it's selfish, we have to look in ourselves and hold it in our hand and say, here it is, and hold it out. And the other person says, here's mine, and hold it out. And then you can actually see the things. Then it's not a guessing game of like, oh, they're going to want this because they always want this. Or I think that their mood seems that they want this, so I'll say that I want this. And it just creates like a terribleness. So the selfish honesty of how do we communicate our needs and how do we do it in a way that's really transparent so that we can actually move forward. So we can actually look at the things and say like, ah, here it is. We can do this now. And I am so grateful for White Shirt. I'm grateful for the magic of like feeling so ignited and the way that made me realize what is possible for me and for my own personal sexuality. I am grateful for this experience because of understanding how my response, my hand gestures, like how I can be more graceful. And I am also grateful for this in the way that I learned to navigate with my words. Because if you're a partner, it doesn't matter what personality type you are. It doesn't matter what your background is. Like, you're going to have to communicate. You're going to have to. And how do we do that in a way that allows space for all people? And how can we show up and say, I'm going to like believe that you're saying what you mean and meaning what you say. So say what you mean what you say, be selfishly honest, and then be able to look at it and be able to move from there. Because maybe it would have been a different night for me, but this was the night that it needed to be, because this is the thing I needed to learn. And this is the story I'm leaving with you today. And thank you for listening. Thanks for being part of my White Shirt experience. Oh, I hope you get turned on. I hope you get turned on by your own fucking life and the gift you have to be in it. And keep it sexy. Oh, keep it selfishly honest. Thank you so much for getting your sexy on with me today. Hearing what you loved, what you learned, or what you're going to share with your lover makes me so damn happy. You can jump on my weekly Sexy Sunday email. You can find that link in the show notes and we can connect through there. And it would super turn me on if you left a rating and review about how much this podcast is giving you life. Until next time. Mwah.